Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, a weekly half-hour segment of news from Palestine and discussions of issues relevant to the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal military occupation and colonization of their homeland. This program presents news and analysis from the Palestinian perspective, a perspective we do not get from the mainstream media. We ask our listeners, were you involved last week in the Israel-Palestine peace movement and the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal military occupation of their land? Did you speak out on the atrocities being committed by Israel in Gaza and the West Bank? If not, why not? There are many ways you could get involved. Here are 10 examples. 1. You could join the Boston Coalition for Palestinian Rights by calling 617-491-2313. 2. You could join the Middle East Crisis Coalition by writing to crisismiddleeast@yahoo.com. 3. You could join the Israel-Palestine Task Force of United for Justice with Peace by writing to ujpiptaskforce@yahoo.com. 4. If you are Jewish and prefer to join a Jewish group, there is the Boston chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, which you can contact either by calling 617-984-0532 or by visiting its website at www.vopj.org. 5. You could go to Palestine and help with the olive harvest or help Palestinians live their daily lives under occupation by contacting the group Boston to Palestine at its website, bostontopalestine.org. 6. You could work with the International Women's Peace Service in Palestine by applying to iwps-pal.org. 7. You could go to Palestine under the Birthright Unplugged program, or 8. Under the Needle in the Groove program by applying respectively at birthrightunplugged.org and needleinthegroove.org. 9. You could go to Palestine and see what life is really like in a Palestinian refugee camp by going to the Aida refugee camp and participating in its 6th international work camp from August 2nd to August 16th. Applications can be obtained by writing to helenp149@yahoo.com. And 10, you could join Bethlehem's Siraj Center's Palestinian Summer Celebration 2007 program. To register for the program or get more information, please visit the website sirajcenter.org/courses.htm. It is Sunday, May 6th, 2007. We begin with 4 event announcements, followed by a brief summary of news highlights and a discussion of an exciting project for Jerusalem. Tomorrow, Monday, May 7th, Harvard Center for Government and International Studies will be hosting a teach-in on the current health crisis in Iraq. Speakers will include Dr. Samuel Ismail of Doctors for Iraq, Dr. Evan Lyon of Partners in Health, and Dr. Sherry Fink of the Harvard Humanitarian Initiative. The keynote speaker will be Professor Abdelhadi Khalili, Cultural Attaché at the Embassy of the Republic of Iraq to the United States. The event will take place from 12 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. in room S250 at the Center for Government and International Studies, located at 1737 Cambridge Street in Cambridge. This event is open to the public, but registration is requested. For registration and questions, please contact Julia Bookman at jbookman@fas.harvard.edu. Bookman is spelled B-U-C-H-M-A-N. On Thursday, May 10th, the Weatherhead Center for International Affairs and the Center for Middle Eastern Studies, Harvard University, will host a talk on From Geneva to Riyadh, Constructing a Peace Process that Delivers, by Daniel Levy, Senior Fellow and Director of the Middle East Programs at both New America Foundation and the Century Foundation, former official Israeli negotiator and advisor in the Prime Minister's office. Mr. Levy was a lead Israeli drafter of the Geneva Initiative. This event will take place from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. in room N262, known as the Bowie Vernon Room at the Weatherhead Center for International Affairs, located at 1737 Cambridge Street in Cambridge. On Saturday, May 12th, the Cambridge El Salvador's Sister City Project will present a benefit concert starting at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Cambridge Baptist Church, located at 1151 Mass Avenue, Harvard Square. The concert will feature Sol y Canto, Willie Sordillo, Mario Romero, Dean Stevens, Los Padres Belly Belly, and a dancer performance by Cynthia Orellana. Tickets are available by phone at 617-349-4694. On June 10 and 11, the United States Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation and United for Peace and Justice are sponsoring a two-day mobilization in Washington, D.C. to protest against the 40-year-old illegal Israeli military occupation of the Palestinian West Bank, East Jerusalem, and Gaza. Under the banner, "The World Says No to Israeli Occupation," the United States Campaign and UFPJ will hold a massive rally and teach-in starting at 1 p.m. on Sunday, June 10th in Washington, D.C., followed by Grassroots Lobbying Day on Monday, June 11th. The Boston Coalition for Palestinian Rights is arranging affordable transportation from Boston to Washington, D.C. and back. If you need a ride, please contact the Boston Coalition for Palestinian Rights as soon as possible by writing to june10demo@gmail.com. Now for highlights of the news. On the political front, last Sunday, April 29th, while on a visit to Egypt, Dr. Azmi Bishara submitted his resignation from the Knesset to the Israeli embassy in Cairo. The Shin Bet, the Israeli secret police, said that they will arrest him if he set foot in Israel. On Tuesday, May 1st, we were disheartened to read a report in the New York Times which cited an ill-advised declaration by the Palestinian Deputy Prime Minister to the effect that the newly formed coalition government of national unity would, in his words, have to go if the siege imposed by Israel, the United States, and the U.S.-dominated quartet continued another 3 months. So all Israel and the United States have to do is maintain the siege for another 3 months, and they will be guaranteed the cooperation of the Fatah branch of the government to dissolve parliament. On Thursday, May 3rd, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas met with Mr. Alvaro de Soto, UN Secretary General Representative for the peace process in the Middle East, at the Presidential Palace in Ramallah. Following the meeting, Mr. De Soto expressed support for the National Unity Government and called on the international community to play a bigger role to achieve peace in the Middle East. Meanwhile, it appears that the Israeli Foreign Minister is working closely on the QT with the United States Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to promote the implementation of Phase 2 of the long-dead roadmap before Phase 1. Phase 2 of the roadmap presents the option of an independent Palestinian state with provisional borders as a way station to a permanent status government. A permanent status settlement, I'm sorry. As noted by Jeff Halper, director of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, quote, "Livni is publicly pushing for Phase 2 to replace Phase 1, raising Palestinian fears of being frozen indefinitely in limbo between occupation and a provisional state with no borders, no sovereignty, no viable economy, surrounded, fragmented, and controlled by Israel and its ever-expanding settlements." End of quote. In addition, Rice and Olmert are trying yet again to divert attention away from ending the occupation to easing restrictions on freedom of movement if Palestinians renounced all resistance to the occupation. This absurd proposal was justifiably rejected by the Palestinians. In respect of events on the ground, on Tuesday, May 1st, Israel's occupation forces attacked participants in a peaceful march organized by the General Federation of Trade Unions of Palestine on the occasion of International Labor Day at the Qalandia checkpoint in the West Bank, and forcibly abducted Mahmoud Khalifa, Deputy Secretary of the Union's Unity Bloc. On Thursday, May 3rd, Israel's occupation forces stormed the city of Bethlehem and announced their intention to demolish 12 houses in the Orthodox quarter in Beit Sahur. Troops handed notification to the owners of the 12 houses to evacuate their homes because they stand in the way of the wall Israel intends to continue building around Bethlehem. On Friday, three Palestinian citizens were assassinated when the occupation forces opened fire at their car in the West Bank city of Jenin. Eyewitnesses said an Israeli special unit opened fire at the three citizens while they were driving their vehicle through the village of Silat al-Harteya, west of the city of Jenin. Today we pause temporarily in our deliberations on apartheid and the international campaign for boycott, divestment and sanctions against the state of Israel to acquaint our listeners with a visionary and exciting project for Jerusalem in which everyone can participate. The project initiated at MIT is called Jerusalem 2050. Diane Davis, Professor of Political Sociology and Associate Dean of the School of Architecture and Planning at MIT, and a director of the Jerusalem Project, described the goals of the project as follows, quote, "The key motivation in launching this kind of competition was how to think about making Jerusalem a more peaceful, sustainable, and just city, a place that's welcoming and satisfying for all its residents, no matter their politics or religious, nationalist, or ethnic identities." End of quote. To help us better understand the ambitious nature and the extended reach of this remarkable project, we are very pleased to welcome our featured guest, Dr. Leila Fersah, Associate Professor of Political Science at UMass Boston and a co-director of the project. Good morning, Professor Leila Fersah.
Good morning, Sharif.
Welcome to This Week in Palestine.
Well, thank you for having me on it.
It's our pleasure. Could you describe the Jerusalem 2050 project to our listeners?
Well, the project is what we call a visionary project. Its aim is to try and think how Jerusalem could be a just and equal peaceful city in 2050. Like many people would first say, why 2050 is so far away and that's about, you know, 43 years from now. And the reason why we thought about it like that is that the reality on the ground are so difficult, are so unbearable, with the persistent occupation, with the apartheid reality, that we thought that maybe the best way to try and see how we can get off the present impasse and the failure of all peace attempts so far to create a viable two-state solution or to create a minimum of livability is to try and set our imagination free. So from there comes the idea of let's try to imagine how Jerusalem could look like in 2050. And as part of the project, we're launching a competition. It's called the Just Jerusalem Competition, which is a competition that seeks and is calling for entries from five different fields, from architecture, from arts, from urban planning, from economics, from infrastructure and engineering. Ideas about how, if we were to think of Jerusalem as a just, peaceful city, not just as a holy city, but rather as a just and peaceful city in 2050, how it will look like. So it's a project which is challenging our imagination. It's a project which seeks to come out of the impasse of the present. It's not utopian because we're not imagining Jerusalem in 100 years. It's far enough to allow us to set our thoughts free, but close enough that we need to think how it can be, this vision that we can have, can be realistic.
Has Israel reacted to this initiative? Did you get any comments from its embassy or consul?
Well, I think many people have been both a bit attracted by it and also scared of it. We've launched the competition in March, the 1st of March, and so far we have over 200 people have registered from all over the world, people from the Middle East, from Palestine, from Israel, from the U.S., from Europe. So basically there is a big interest in that. The position of the U.S. Embassy, we didn't hear from them. We did have lots of attacks from within some groups in the United States arguing that this is an anti-Israel project. But in fact, this is not an anti-Israel project. It's a project really thinking about how we can think of concept of justice and citizenship in 2050. So it has gone along, you know, it has had its share of attacks, but it has persevered, and we can see that there is actually, although many people thought of it as too utopian and thus can be naive, what we're seeing with the fact that there is over 200 people who have registered so far from various countries, again, from the Middle East, as from Arab countries, as well as from Israel, from Europe, as well as from the U.S., suggests that people are eager on embarking on something new and daring.
Have our poets, writers, artists also welcome to?
Yes, we have 5 tracks in the competition, so whoever would like to make an entry to the competition, he can choose one of the 5 tracks. One track is urban space, okay, and architecture, and the second one is art, poetry, painting, tapestry, any form of art. The third one is what we call the infrastructure component. Anybody who would like to think about how can you create a road system in 2050 that really is accessible to all the inhabitants of the city rather than segregate the city through bypass roads, you know? Or how would you work to create an a telephone cell system which is really accessible to everybody rather than segregated along ethnic or national group. That's the third element. And then we have what we call institutional entries. If you think about institutions such as schools, as an economic system, as a banking system, again, always with the idea of how the proposal you're making will make it accessible to all the inhabitants of the cities today as in the future, for different ethnic groups and every religion, as well as for those who are living on the ground. And the fifth one is the fifth one is political infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And the important thing to say about the competition is open to everybody. It's not open just to academics or people who are at universities. It's open to any layperson interested in the issue of Jerusalem. And in a way to make it also easier, we're asking for all those who are making an entry and would like to make a submission, that they need to decide which track they're taking. That's what I told you about the 5 tracks. Mm-hmm. But also to tell us under which political scenario they are imagining Jerusalem will be a just city. Mm-hmm. Do they think of Jerusalem as a just city, as Jerusalem as a capital of 2 states, Jerusalem as a capital of 1 state, in which case which, Jerusalem as an international city, as envisioned in the United Nations Resolution 181, mm-hmm. or Jerusalem as a city of a binational state or another, whatever. So it's not a competition that seeks to get compromises. We really want challenging ideas. Like if somebody thinks that it is just to create a Jerusalem with a wall, okay, fair enough, make an entry, but just tell us how does this wall make the city just and peaceful. If somebody else will tell me, I want the city just for the Christians or just for the Muslim and nobody else, okay, and all the other people will have different type of citizenship, okay, fair enough, make the entry, but tell us how with that option that you're proposing, make it just and viable. So it is going to be, you know, quite challenging for each one of us. And often, whoever enters it, we realize that it asks us to reconsider our conception of what is justice, what is possible, what is feasible, and what is above all humanist. How can we create a city which is so religious? Whenever we think of Jerusalem, we think of it as a holy city. We don't think of it as a just city. Cities typically are not just. Cities are places of conflict, of inequality, and Jerusalem is particularly acute in that regard. So, but if we were to think of it just as a city which has its peculiarity, that it is an important religious place. But despite this peculiarity, it still remains a city like Boston, like New York, like Kansas, where people want to live and get away, you know, get along in their life. And at the same time, it's a city which is so central to the conflict. It's not that we're trying to bypass the conflict. We're actually trying to think how, if we were to think of a solution to Jerusalem, we can think also for Jerusalem for the larger conflict. So we want to really see where people's thoughts get them, okay? But again, the tricky word, you know, in it is the fact that we're talking about a just Jerusalem, Jerusalem which is just, and that's going to be quite challenging.
Yes. How does a project reach out to Palestinians and Israelis?
Well, we have, we had a visionary conference 2 years ago where we tried to spell out these ideas and think about them. But we have various institutional support. Birzeit University was very, supportive of the project, and they're going to make entries. A number of Israeli universities already have submitted, have registered and showed lots of support. Our website has lots of information of the various institutional bodies who have supported the project. And our jury is actually a very fascinating, diverse group of people. It's a jury of 9 people who cover various areas from geography to history to politics to architecture to arts, and you can access all this on the website, which is www.cis.mit.edu/ justjerusalem.com. Mm.
Great. Has anyone now residing in Jerusalem submitted proposals?
We cannot say proposal because the deadline for the proposal is the 31st of December. Mm-hmm. So we have another, you know, it's a competition that lives over a 9-month period, so people have enough time, or group of people, we're on teams actually. You know, maybe a number of university students would be interested, or a number of companies or groups would be interested to submit a proposal. And this way they have 9 months for them to do it. So the fact that we continue every day to have people registering is a very good sign, including from places. We got people from India, people from Malaysia, people from Dubai, from Kuwait, from Saudi Arabia. In Israel, I said there is a number of them. From Palestine as well, we have from the West Bank, we have a number of registration. So it is, it's plotting along, and I highly recommend that everybody who is daring in his thoughts and his visions to actually submit an application. It's not a utopian. It's the whole point is let's set our imagination free, but also our let's in question what our real fundamental concept of justice and peace, and how can we combine this together to create a viable place. And also in the competition, what is important, so we've asked that they make the vision. We asked under which political scenario. But we're also asking all the entrants to explain how we can go from the vision they have into applying it on the ground. And I have to add as well that the prize of the competition, the prizes will be issued, you know, will be the winners will be declared probably somewhere in March 2008. Mm-hmm. And the winners will get a fellowship at MIT. We're hoping to have 9 winners, and they would come for a whole semester at MIT to think through how they can really apply their vision on the ground. And we're also planning to take the winners a tour all around the U.S. as well as in Israel and in Palestine.
That's
to show
great.
The exhibit. Yeah.
That's great. Has a tentative date been set to start work on the project?
Yes, the Jerusalem competition has been launched March 1st, and registration is open until December 31st. So all the entries have to be made until then.
And actual work on the ground?
Actual work on the ground, well, that's after the competition and after the prizes, we're going to look into the various entrants. And as I said, take it on a tour. And working at MIT about how we can implement these on the ground. I mean, part of the aim of the exhibit of the competition winners is to show it to policymakers at the UN as well as in Israel and in Palestine, and hope by this to inspire them. I mean, the Just Jerusalem competition is not providing a solution to the conflict. It's not a hands-on. It's more about thinking about ways about how we can solve the conflict and present it to policymakers and those who are responsible or who should work on solving it. We're also planning to present it to civil society. I mean, and we are very much want civil society participation. And actually what was interesting that we found from the registration is that many people from civil society have entered the civic track. How can you create civic institutions in Jerusalem which are accessible, peaceful, promoting peace and justice in Jerusalem?
This is indeed a remarkable project. At this point, it would seem premature to ask a question of at least a tentative sense of the time it would take to complete work on the ground in this project.
Well, what does work on the ground mean? I mean, the work on the ground, the whole point is to see how far the ideas that were unleashed with this competition or the visions that were produced, how can they be translated on the ground?
Yes.
And first we have to judge them for really first how capable they are really of creativity, of tackling these difficult issues of how to maintain Jerusalem religious importance, but at the same time guarantees accessibility to everybody without being politically naive about the reality on the ground. It's quite a lot on the plate. So let's at least try to sort the ideas.
Yes.
And once we have a clear ideas, then we can move on to policymaker and see how we can implement them.
Quite so. Thank you so much, Dr. Lila Farsakh, for being our guest today.
Thank you very much for having me.
It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Dr. Lila Farsakh, Associate Professor of Political Science at UMass Boston and co-director of the Inspiring Jerusalem 2050 Project. To learn more about the project and how you can submit your proposal, please visit the website. I'll give you another website, http://web.mit.edu/cis/Jerusalem 2050. And that is all we have for today. We wish our listeners a pleasant and restful weekend and look forward to having you with us next week, same time. Until then, this is Sherif Fahm signing off for now and reminding our listeners to get involved in the good fight for peace in the Middle East. Palestine is in dire need of help and could use all the help it could get. Thank you.